I greet you, brothers and sisters, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome all of you to this morning's service. For the announcements, the first collection is for the church, and then the second one for theological training for the church purposes, and also for the second one for the theological training. That's our announcements for this morning. After the greeting and the blessing, we sing from Psalm 92, verse 1 to 3, after the greeting. Let us stand together. I look up to the hills, where does my help come from? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a blessing to come together as the Lord who calls us to congregate, to be with him. He first blesses us and we can be in a dialogue with him. And now we listen to Exodus 20, to the commandments of the Lord. So we speak to the Lord and the Lord speak to us. And here now we listen to God as he instructs us how to live. And as we come to the commandments, we always are sorrowful of our sins. We come with sorrow because of our sins. But at the same time, the paradox is true that we come with joy, that we can also be glad because of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we listen to God's commandment, knowing also that Christ has conquered for us. Exodus 20, we listen to the law of the Lord. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am jealousy God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So far is the reading of God's word, the commandment that God is giving us to live, and we are thankful of the grace that God provides through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us respond by singing with joy Psalm 19, and then we sing there verse 6 and 7. Psalm 19, verse 6 and 7, as a response to the commandment of the Lord. us assemble in prayer. How good it is to give a thanks to you, O Lord, to sing to your honor, you Most High God, to proclaim your constant love every morning and your faithfulness every night, with the music of stringed instruments, with a melody on a harp, your mighty deeds, Lord, you have made us glad, because what you have done, we can sing for joy. How great are your actions, Lord, how deep are your thoughts. This is something a fool cannot know, a stupid man will never understand. Wicked may grow like a weed, those who do not, they may prosper, yet they will be totally destroyed. We thank you, Lord, for this morning, that you gather your church, Lord, that you have enabled us to respond to the call, of coming together. We thank you for your blessing, O Lord, and we continue, O Lord, to pray that you continue to bless us, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord, that we can read your commandment, listen to you as you instruct us. Lord, we realize our sinfulness, and we come with sorrowfulness, O Lord, praying that you put sin far away from us, that you forgive us our sins. Lord, you know our thoughts, you know our hearts, you know, O Lord, our steps. Lord, we pray that you put sin far away from us and restore us to you. We are thankful, O Lord, that we could come to you with joy because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we remember the time, the coming of Christ, Lord, we also remember our salvation. We pray, O Lord, that you might lead us in this service, in everything that is to be done. Lord, we pray that you might accept our worship, our singing, as an aroma, O Lord, that brings glory to you. We pray also, as we are about to read your word, that you might open our hearts, that we might listen to you. Help us, O Lord, to listen to your word. Guide us and be with us. In Christ we pray and give glory to you. Forever and ever we pray in your name. Amen. Our scripture reading today is Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we will read from verse 23 and till chapter 4, verse 7. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 and until chapter 4, verse 7. As a response of God's word, we will also sing after reading God's word from hymn 33, verse 1 to 3. Hymn 33, verse 1 to 3 will be a response to the reading of God's word. Galatians 3, verse 23. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We continue to chapter 4, verse 1. What am I saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he's no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, the heir is subject to guardian and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's children. And since you are his children, God has made you all also an heir. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Our text this morning is Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. Galatians 4 and verse 4 and 5. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. By way of introduction, brothers and sisters, we normally associate God with suddenness. Suddenness. If something dramatic happens, like an accident, and I'm suddenly saved from it, then I'm persuaded easily to believe that God helped me. It is easy to see from such act that God has acted. Well, our text is written by the Apostle Paul, one of the heroes of faith in the New Testament. Indeed, God used him mightily. But today, brothers and sisters, I want to start this sermon with one of the heroes of faith from the Old Testament, and that is Elijah. In chapter 19 of the first book of Kings, the prophet Elijah was depressed. He wanted some comfort from the presence of God. We read the following from that section of scripture. The Lord said, "Go out and stand out on a mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophet to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." You see, even Elijah expected to see in a dramatic event like the powerful wind, the earthquake, and the fire. He expected to see the Lord in those events. Of course, in the scripture we read many times, several times, where God revealed himself in such a dramatic way. But in this, for Elijah, God was not in this dramatic event. God revealed himself, we are told, but after the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle whisper. Yes, a gentle whisper. That is the time and the means in which God revealed himself to Elijah. Brothers and sisters, God is at work every day and every moment of our lives. Well, it need not be in dramatic events, but in simple things. Also, God revealed himself to us. Everything is controlled by his power, by his greatness. Even the little things in which we do not see or give him credit that is due to him. He is still there and he is in charge. God is never too late and also not too early to act. He's working in his own agenda. In the fullness of time, he sent Christ into the world. He sent the one born of the woman to come and die for our sins. I preach to you, Christmas, that is the coming of Christ, is the time set by God. Christmas, the coming of Christ, it is the time set by God. Two things we shall look at. Firstly, God's time was the best time in history. God's time is the best time in history. And secondly, this is our time of trusting God. This is our time of trusting God. Christmas, the coming of Christ, is the time set by God. And let us look at the first point. God's time was the best and is the best time in history. Well, I've said in my introduction just now that people associate God with suddenness, when something suddenly happens. But there are those who associate God with panic. Yes, panic. I've heard people speak in this way. They see God as someone who is trying to help people. He's trying to help people to change, people to repent. And then he's sending prophets to preach, to teach the people. But people do not change. And they say in this story that finally God sent his son, sent Jesus Christ to come, his only son. And at the end, the story ends with a tragic result that the son is killed. That demonstrates the helplessness of the people. That people will never change as they tell the story. But that is not the story of the Bible. This is not the God of the Bible. God, who began to work in creation from beginning, continues to do even so, even to this hour. And when the fullness of time has come, he sent our Lord Jesus Christ to the world. Brothers and sisters, God is never too early, and he will never be too late. This is demonstrated well with the world history before and during the time of the birth of Christ. If you go back to the history around that time, there was some kind of peace and stability which was spearheaded by Augustus Caesar. The road system was excellent for that time, and it later benefited the apostles after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, the gospel would be preached to all the world of that time. It was easy to travel in the Mediterranean world because the road system and the other infrastructure were in place. I think those people never had to worry about potholes and other things. The common language, which was Greek, because before the Romans came to the center, Alexander the Great Hellenized the whole of the Mediterranean world, the whole world of that time. This meant that Greek was the common language of communication. This also enhanced the spread of the gospel, especially by the Apostle Paul and other associates of the apostles. When the apostles traveled in their mission journeys, they only needed to speak Greek, and everybody understood what they said. The gospel could, in this way, cross boundaries, go from place to place, from Jerusalem to Rome, and the means of communication was that Greek. Before also the coming of Christ, or during that time also, there was a big spiritual vacuum. The last prophet, Malachi, was 400 years ago. Now the people were exposed to religious practices of the Greeks and the Romans. These practices yielded nothing. Thus, people were prepared for the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can compare it with the situation today with the faith, health, and wealth gospel. You can compare it to the situation today of people who put other things, money or their trust, their health, before in the space of our Lord. That's false religion. And then you'll realize that false religion is bankrupt. Even during that time, yes, there was that spiritual vacuum. People's hearts were prepared for the true gospel. Brothers and sisters, you can never speak of the world's history without recognizing the hand of God. Everything is ordained by the mighty hand of God. The early church noted it well when they prayed in Acts chapter 4, where we read when they quoted Psalm chapter 2, "You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nation rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and take, and the rulers bend together against the Lord and against your anointed one." Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. In their persecution, the early church understood that God already spoke of their situation, that what is happening to them is not new to God. God has already spoken about it. They took Psalm chapter 2, they applied it to Christ, but they also applied it to their situation. That all of this needed to happen because it is ordained by God. In the fullness of time, he sent Christ into the world. He sent the one born of the woman to come and die for our sins. Brothers and sisters, this was the time for redemption, to come back to our message. Our text does not speak about the world history of the Romans and the Greeks. Although it was important to this time, God used it, of course, to prepare the coming of Christ. The fullness of time here has to do with our redemption and salvation. The Old Testament has the shadows, but we have the substance. God, for a number of years, accepted sacrifices and practices in the temple, but all of these were the shadows of the real things to come. The Old Testament believers were under the law, but we have liberty in our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 23 and 24 of this book of Galatians, chapter 3, the Apostle Paul speaks about the law being our guardian until Christ come. We can now be justified through faith. There is another thing we should note. As the Apostle Paul says that Christ was sent, he not just was born of the woman, but he came from heaven. One commentator wrote about the coming of Christ, Christ being sent, as he exposes the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. He writes, Jesus was sent to the world, meaning that he comes from heaven, and God the Father sent him to the world. We are born in this world, but he was sent. His birth was not his beginning, rather the beginning of his earthly course. God sent his son, the commentator continues, blessed be his holy name. He sent him to this world, the world to which you and I live, the world full of miseries and woes, the world full of sin and abomination. It has not got any better. You still remember his birth, what we read in the Gospels about it. There was Mary and Joseph. They could not find a place in the inn. All the selfishness of mankind was such that even a woman in such a condition would not get a room and had to go into the stable, so that the Lord of glory was placed in a manger in a stable. This is the sort of world which Christ came into. This is a selfish, grasping, and self-centered world in which everybody is for himself. I do not know if you still remember the story of Herod and the massacre of the infants, all the malice, envy, hatred, and bloodshed. Brothers and sisters, I can go on to speak about the poverty which he lived in. We are told that his parents would not afford to give the price of the highest offering, and they had to settle for two total doves. The Lord of glory lived an ordinary life for 30 years, making means as a carpenter. He endured hardship in his ministry with so much opposition rising against him. There were people who asked him questions only to test him. Oh, the King of glory, who is from eternity, came to this world to see sin at first hand. Look at the treachery, even among his own friends. Look at him deserted by his disciples. Look at him on trial. Look at the crown of thorns they put upon his brow. This is the world in which he came. And Martin Lloyd-Jones was speaking on 1 John, especially John, when he considered what is the world. It is a place, or maybe something which is passing away, something which has been corrupted and has to pass away. But it is the where our Lord Jesus Christ was sent. It is the world in which Christ came into. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. The fact that Christ is born of a woman in this text is not a proof text for virgin birth, but rather Paul here is stating the fact that he was fully human. Christ was fully human and also fully God. But there's something that I want to mention before we move to the second point. I think there's always a tendency to separate Christmas and Good Friday. Every time when I had to preach here or not to have to talk about this. And I want us to remember that we shouldn't make too much distinction between Christmas and a Good Friday. I've seen this in our churches, in El Mapias, in Soshanguve, that people often make too much a distinction. Brothers and sisters, the two goes together. The one who was sent came to die for our sins. The angel of the Lord said to Joseph in a dream, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Before the child is born, before he comes to the world, give him the name Jesus. What does it mean? It means that he comes to save people from their sins. The chief purpose of Christ's coming is to save people from their sins. He came to die on the cross. The Apostle Paul puts it well in our text as he writes, "Born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." God not only sent the one who was special to him, not only did he send him to this world, but dear congregation, he sent him to die. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is the reason why his sweat was like a drop of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he knew what it involved. It involved separation from the face of the Father. That is why he cried on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He came to redeem us from the bondage of sin. He came to die. Thank God it didn't end there, says the old preacher. He was raised again from the dead and thereby proclaimed that the sacrifice was enough, that the law was satisfied, that everything was complete. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Let us move to the second point. This is our time of trusting God. This is our time of trusting God. This is our time of trusting God. One commentator put it this way, as he writes and bringing the point home. He says, "My third point is that there is a fullness of time in which Christ come to each of us. This gives us confidence in evangelism. If converting men and women depends upon the preacher or the one who is witnessing, who would bear such a burden? We would be anxious, worried, distress, distort, thinking that perhaps if we did not speak exactly the right word or do so at exactly the right time, the person whom we are speaking will be lost. But it is not that way. God comes in the fullness of time to each heart. God revealed himself to us in a time which he has set. I often hear people, and especially when you in the township, when we do evangelism, they would say, "Well, I'm not ready. I will come to church when I feel ready, and then I will come to church." And when you speak to such people, and then we want to do evangelism to them, encourage them to come to Christ, and people would often say, or maybe the parents would often say, "No, leave him alone. In his own time, in his time, He will come. The Lord will work in his heart in his own time." And then they try to tone you down when you speak and when you try to share the gospel with them. Brothers and sisters, this is the time to turn to God. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 to 9, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. This is the way it is in evangelism. God begins to work in a heart. He does so through the sowing of the seed of the word. At the beginning, it might be such a small seed that you hardly know the plant is there. But the word of God is present and growing. Then somebody else comes along and waters it little. And there is some more growth. From beginning to end, the work is God's who causes each of his ministers to contribute to what is needed in the proper fullness of time. I wonder if that is the way, that is the way is with you. There might be somebody who sown the seed of the gospel in your heart. One person explained the gospel to you. Another has witnessed the reality of Christ's power from his own experience with God. A third has answered your questions. A minister has taught you from the Bible through faithful exposition. But you have not yet come to the point at which you have made a personal believing response to Jesus Christ. I wonder if that is the time. I wonder if that time might be now. What better time than now? I cannot say in your particular case. That is the time, that this is the time. But I can warn you against delaying beyond the time God has established. Should we wait until we feel we have the feeling in our own hearts? Should we wait until we feel in our hearts that it is time? Brothers and sisters, God has sent his son almost 2,000 years back. We need to heed to his call of salvation. He was born of a woman. That is to say, he was without sin. He came to redeem us from our sins. This is the time. But when the fullness of time has fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Brothers and sisters, in the fullness of time, Christ will come again. In the fullness of time, our Lord Jesus Christ came to this world as a baby in a manger. And in the fullness of time, God's time, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. The Apostle Peter wrote, and he wrote this way, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming? Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.' But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Jesus will return when the fullness of the harvest has been brought in. The point is, will you be ready when he returns? I do not know when that will be. It might be far off. It might be soon. It might be right now. The question is, are you ready? It is not about when, but it's about the event itself. Christ is coming, and then we need to be ready for his coming. The Lord Jesus Christ came the first time to die. The second time he will come as a king, to rule and to judge the world, to judge everyone according to what he or she has done, be it good or bad. Can you stand before him on the basis of what you have done? Oh, my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to run to God now and expose your sin to him in prayer. The only way to stand is in the righteousness of Christ, which God offers you if you turn from your sin and believe in belief on Jesus. My dear friends, God is never rushed. Jesus will not come too soon. He will not come too late. And the proof of that is that he did not come neither too soon nor too late the first time. And this is a comfort also to those who grieve their lost ones, their loved ones. In the fullness of time, God promises us that we'll see our loved ones in glory. This is a comfort to those who face all kinds of hardships, to be reminded that we are not to despair. God is in control of time. In his time, Christ will come. One poet wrote in a song, maybe we all know the song, "And when I think of God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and lead me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow with humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art." But when the time set had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. I trust that he will come to you now, and that for your part, you may come to him and be comforted this Christmas that we have received salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us respond to the preaching of the word by singing from Psalm 95, and then verse 1 and 4 before we go to prayer. Assemble in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, our Father because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, to know that you loved us before the foundation of the world, that, Lord, before man was created, you knew, O Lord, that man would be there, that sin will come, and you have prepared salvation for us. It is the time that is set by you, O Lord. Lord, we live in the world which has many things, and at times even we as Christians, we are in despair. There are killings, there are corruption where we live. There are many things which makes us dejected, O Lord. But we are reminded that you are in control. We are encouraged as we celebrate Christmas, as we remember the coming of our King who came to die on the cross. Lord, we are reminded that he who came to die rised again, and he was taken to glory, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Lord, we are reminded that this is your time, that you are in charge. Help us, O Lord, not to despair. Comfort those, O Lord, who live in sorrow. As we are in times of celebrations, many times those who lost their loved ones, this is the time when they start to remember, memories come back, even if it has been many years, O Lord, but it is that sorrow that caused so much pain in the heart. Help us to remember that you are in charge, O Lord, to trust you. We pray, O Lord, and thank you for the service this morning that you have spoken to us through your servant. Help us, O Lord, to listen and to come to repentance and to come, O Lord, to receive the comfort that is from your word. Bless all the activities that are coming and even the second service that will come in the evening. We pray for the ministry of this church, those who have gone on holidays, perhaps streaming this service through the internet. We pray for all the members of this church. We pray, O Lord, that you might comfort them, that you might strengthen them. Lord, we also pray that you would even call even those who are out to come and join the church. We pray, O Lord, for the work of evangelism. We pray, O Lord, for all the activities. We pray for the family Brusma, be with them as they minister to this church. We pray, O Lord, for the church council and the families of this church, that you might be with them. Thank you that the gospel can be preached every Sunday, that even though we are few, we can gather together to listen to your word. And it is you who enable us. It is you, O Lord, who cause us to come together. And we are thankful, O Lord. Lord, we pray that not to us, O Lord, not to us, but only to your name be honor, be glory. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. After the collection, we sing from hymn 24, verse 1 to 3. After the collection, let us give now thanks through our giving our offering. receive the blessing from the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.